And so today we're just going to talk about the greatness of today, the greatness of the resurrection. Today is a great day. It's not another day to do church. It's not another day where the pastor prepares, oh, it's another Easter Sunday, so we have to do another Easter Sunday message. It's not Mother's Day, Father's Day, or not just another day that we do something. It's special because they represent significant things. Today is Resurrection Sunday. He is risen. He is risen. And we celebrate the Savior. And you know what? I'm not trying to pump you up to celebrate the Savior. I'm just telling you that's how I feel because you know what? He opened my eyes to something that how could we believe what we believe? To some minds, they would say, how do you believe this? Are you people crazy? And yet we opened up and deep within our hearts, within our spirit, as we follow the Bible, we follow the prophecies, we follow everything in the Bible, it leads to this here today, and without a doubt, it's factual, it's historical, and it is awesome. And I get to spend eternity in heaven with all of you. But I think he will take precedent over you. Okay? But we get together, we get to do it together to worship our King. So it's a great day, would you believe? Yes. Literally millions of people, literally millions of people around the world, billions. I would say that maybe as many as 2 billion people in the world today are celebrating Resurrection Sunday. 2 billion. How many are in the world today? 8 billion people? So it could be as much as 3 billion people worldwide because we don't know all the statistics like in China. There's more Christians in China than there are in North America. Okay? And so, like, figure that one out. And so celebrating the fact that some 2,000 years ago, the tomb of Christ was empty and Christ died so that we could live. He died for us, for our sin. The Gospel of Mark that Linda read earlier shows us the greatness of Easter, okay? Resurrection Sunday. It's Easter Sunday, it's okay, but it's Resurrection Sunday. And it's one of the holiest days of the year. How many of you enjoyed Good Friday service this year? I thought it was over the top amazing. It was so good. I saw, where did Aaron go? Aaron was sitting right beside Anthony Rota, the dignitary in the house, and where did he go? And so I said, hey, Aaron, did you know you're sitting beside one of our dignitaries in our city? And he was just cool, you know, it was all good, right? And so in verse 1 of what Linda read this morning, we have the great kindness in verses 1 to 3. The women came to anoint his body. It was dark as they arose that morning. The two got up, they put on their garments, they grabbed their spices, they handed out down a dirt road and out in the dark. And as they walked towards the path, thoughts and sights of that week probably ripped through their minds. They had seen Jesus ride in on the colt before thousands of people shouting, praising, hallelujah, you know, Hosanna. And they were also there for the terrible scene. And yes, I know this is Resurrection Sunday, but we must not forget that this week. They were there. They saw the terrible scene. They saw Jesus tied to a post. They saw the Roman soldier filled with broken pottery and glass ripping across his back. How do we fathom this? Ripping him apart. They had seen it all. The two Marys were there at the cross. They were there when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? They saw his head fall as he cried, it is finished. So what were they doing up early on that Sunday morning? Their love and devotion for Jesus drove them. Someone had to prepare the body for burial, and no one else had volunteered. It was up to them. The second thing that we see in these verses that Linda read this morning are the great discovery in verses 4 and 5. The tomb was empty. The tomb was empty. When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was a very large stone, had been rolled away. They entered the tomb and they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, an angel with the appearance of a young man in white. And they were alarmed. They were alarmed. Matthew's gospel tells us that his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. And the guards were so afraid that they shook their heads. They shook their heads like dead men. And Mary, they bent down and walked into the tomb, and they saw that it was empty. Jesus, our Jesus, was not there. He was not there. Jesus was not there. I wonder what they were thinking at that moment. What would you think at that moment? Thirdly, we have the great announcement in verses 6 to 8. It says, "He is not here. He is not here." The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said." He has risen just as he said. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of Christianity. If you don't believe that, then everything else falls apart. Okay? That's the very, very foundation of Christianity. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 5 and 17, if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. So fourthly, we have the great appearances in verses 9 to 14. Mary Magdalene in verses 9 to 11. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, of whom he had driven out 7 demons. She went and she told those who had been with him, and they were mourning and weeping, and when they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe. Mary Magdalene was probably, I'm not sure, but I think probably, given the privilege of being the first witness of the resurrected Christ because of her unreserved dedication. Her unreserved dedication. Because you know what, folks? I'm going to tell you something. He loves dedication. Okay? He loves a dedicated heart to him. He loves it. Okay? He loves dedication. She had 7 demons within her. Isn't it amazing that how many of you have things in your life that you're not proud of? Okay? And I'm sure she didn't either. But he chose her first because of her dedication. And I read that, and you know what? That's the whole story right there for me. It's dedication, isn't it? Another appearance was to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. When the two disciples returned to Jerusalem and reported their fellowship with the risen Savior, they met with the same disbelief that Mary encountered. What is it with us and disbelief? Like, what is wrong with us? Like, if you told me you were healed, why is it that we're skeptical? Or why is it like, show me? Like, where's the faith? Like, why, you know? The stories of Mary and the others who personally encountered on the resurrection morning are among the favorites of Christians. We belong to him and he to us, amen? The love and devotion of these women was greatly, greatly rewarded. Jesus always rewards this kind of love and devotion, amen? Fifthly, we have the Great Commission. And he says this. He didn't just die so that we can look at an empty tomb and say, he is risen, celebrate the Savior. That's why I chose the book of Mark this morning. You all know the story. You've heard the story. How many of you have been in 20 or more Resurrection Sunday services? Lots of you. Okay. So the story doesn't stop there. It says, fifthly, we have the Great Commission in verses 15 and 16. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. He opens our eyes and our understanding so that we may open our mouths and tell others about him. Amen? Amen? Jesus gives us the commission, the power, and the message. And the message. He gives us the power. He gives us the message. It's so, so exciting. So there's no reason this morning to be silent. Okay? You cannot give me a logical reason this morning. If we were to set up a courtroom right now and you came and I'm going to be the judge and you're going to try and give me a reason why we should be silent, I'm sending you to jail. 20 years for you. Wrong. No, you're not going to jail. I would never do that. Can you just imagine with me this morning what it would be like to be the first ones to tell the news of Jesus Christ? Oh my goodness. Okay? I get one little paragraph in all the Bible. And Ken, you know, he's kind of a Barnabas kind of guy. He was the first one after the risen Christ to go and tell someone about Jesus. He was the first one in the scripture to lead someone to Jesus. Hallelujah, imagine that. And then you would read it and you say, who's this Ken kind of Barnabas guy? Man, this is an exciting story, you know, so maybe I should do what he did. Or maybe it's you, Peter. Imagine if you were the first one. Joe, imagine you're the first one in the Bible. Your name is written in the Bible. Joseph Urzo, the first man to tell someone about Jesus. Oh my goodness. Does that excite you at all? At all? Like a little bit? Or like a lot? A lot? Amen. Amen. And lastly, we have the great conclusion in verses 19 and 20. The ascension and the preaching of the gospel. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up to heaven and sat at the right hand of God. He ascended, it says. So Jesus humbled himself in obedience, and God exalted him in glory. But he was not idle. He is working with his people to take the gospel to every nation. What an encouragement to be a witness of your Lord to the world around us. Amen. Verse 20, it says this, the disciples went out and they preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs and wonders that accompanied it. Wow. So verse 20 says that on Resurrection Sunday and shortly after, the disciples went out and they preached everywhere. They preached everywhere. I don't know about you, but when you're in the presence of God, your countenance changes. Okay? You know, I wasn't involved in the service on Good Friday, so I had an opportunity to look around at people. And we're in the presence of a whole city together, worshiping God, worshiping Jesus, worshiping Holy Spirit. And you just look and you look around and you see people and their whole countenance changes. And that's a witness of his glory that's working in your life. Amen? And the disciples went out and they preached everywhere because Jesus is alive. Yes. Amen. Amen. And the evidence is overwhelming. Yes. Would you say? Yes. Amen. So let's give it up for Jesus this morning. Amen. Yes. Amen. 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 God is good. Amen. Well, I think we're going to just get ready for Ty and Lucy to kind of come, and this is very, very exciting. I have to, I'm not going to embarrass you, but Kevin, come on up here for a second. Nikki, too. And